Joining me on this last part of the shift, we're here till 1 o'clock with Dave's Gone By, is an old friend and colleague from when I was back on a small radio station, commercial radio station, as a matter of fact, in Long Island, New York. He was an engineer there. He had his own program, a couple of programs, and all sorts of other things that he did for the station. But, of course, the only thing that really counted was when he helped me on my show and when he was a really delightful guest and someone to hang with on the air. So I am very, very happy to welcome back to the Dave Waves, Mr. Joe Salzone. Now, Joe, tell me you can hear me.
I can hear you, Dave. I appreciate those very kind words.
Oh, well, those are the last kind words you'll hear from me. The rest of the interview, I'll just insult you mercilessly. But I wanted to start with
I wouldn't expect anything else.
How are you, Joe Salzone?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave Lefkowitz. I'm here in upstate New York, and you are out there in Colorado. How long have you been out there in Colorado now? About a year?
It has been, believe it or not, time flies. On August 6th, that was 2 years since we moved.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It doesn't remotely feel like it, but that was the big 2-year mark for us. And
I didn't realize it had been that long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. When I took my pants down, you said the same thing. But, you know, thank you very much. So I've still continued. You know, I'm here. I'm doing my show. I'm programming director, whatever that means, here at UNC Radio. Did you get out of radio, or are you still doing some?
I've been out of radio for the last couple of years, although I still make occasional appearances back on that old station as a commentator. You know, you never really get out of it. You know, once you're in radio, radio is one of those strange little businesses where if it's in your blood, you never really get out of it.
I know.
You're always drawn to it.
Pacino and The Godfather, they pull you back in. I mean,
yeah,
so
exactly.
Show do you appear on? I can give a kind of a plug.
I don't really know whenever I'm on. It's
okay.
I'll get a phone call or a text, and they'll say, hey, you should call in. Like, all right.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't even know who would still be there that would be doing a political kind of show, because that was your thing. You were mostly political talk.
I've branched out.
Yeah, that's true.
When you box yourself into one particular topic, you become a one-dimensional caricature, like anyone in cable news.
or Rabbi Saul Solomon, yes, right.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
So,
because I'm not nearly as hated around Great Neck as he was. although I do understand, I have it on pretty good authority that he is sorely missed in that old temple that he worked at for so many years.
Oh, yes, because, I can't really get into this, but he left a lot of the women there sore, so he is sorely missed by them, if you know what I'm saying. Can't really say
that. That's what I heard. Yeah.
He's more popular than you'd think. No, but the interesting thing, and I take some credit for this, maybe I shouldn't considering the way the world is right now and the economy, but when I met you, you were incredibly staunch right-wing Republican, and that was the kind of radio you were doing, and then exposure to me made you at least move towards the middle of the dial. I was pretty happy about that.
Well, it was exposure to you and exposure to a lot of other avenues. You know, anyone who doesn't evolve in their opinion is a fool. I make no secret, if you present me with a strong argument, I'll consider my own point of view on whatever the topic is.
Well, that's fair. That's what the best broadcasters do. That's why, you know, I think one of your people that you still like on Fox News might be Shepard Smith, as opposed to some of the other folks on there who just, you know, they give you 10 seconds of talking point, and then they shout over you, and it's making fun of you and nothing. At least
The good thing about him is he does keep you guessing. You don't really know. You can't pigeonhole him in any particular ideology, which is the way it should be.
I was going to pigeonhole him, but I didn't have the lube, and he got away from me.
The rabbi might.
Exactly. So, Joe, if you're not generally doing radio, what are you doing up there in, is it Poughkeepsie, you said?
No, it's not Poughkeepsie.
Well,
Poughkeepsie would be downstage from where I am. I am one of those heartless, soulless insurance salesmen, which is a, as I've learned, a particularly dreamless occupation.
Ooh. Is it life insurance or health insurance?
Both.
Wow. Well, it is kind of dreamless occupation because you're planning, people are planning for nightmares. They're planning for the end of their dreams, either death or losing a limb, you know. So.
Yeah, it's, and you hear sob stories every day, and you create a built-in allergy to such stories because you hear the same ones every day.
Well, are you dealing with people who are claimants who say, look, I have a policy and I need it to pay this and this and this? Or are you just selling people who need a policy a policy?
Pretty much both. I've taken over several accounts. So sometimes it's just going to someone's house and introducing myself and going over all their coverage. There's an element of customer service involved. I personally have as little passion for this as I think I've ever had doing anything. And I don't see myself doing this for the next 40 years.
I hope to God not. I mean, life's too short, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you got to make a living. We all, my wife will be the first to say that I'm a lucky SOB and that, yes, I make a little money doing what I do, but if she weren't working, blah, 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 and then, you know, that allows me to be creative in my horrendous sort of a way, you know, and I can look at people and say, well, why are you working 40 hours a week in a job you hate? And, you know, I have a cousin who's in ad sales and it's giving him an ulcer. And I'm saying, well, why are you doing it then? Well, you know, is money that important? Well, yeah, if you need to put food on the table, it is. You know, I understand that. But at the same time, I say to you, you cannot do this to yourself for 40 years, Joe.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I remember you telling me many years ago that you had been working at a job, I think it was in video production or something like that, and you absolutely hated it, so you left.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't, well, actually, there were a couple of jobs I hated, but there were one or two of those jobs now at this point. I'll keep this short because I want to be talking to you and not about myself because, although as my wife would also say, oh, yeah, Dave, like you don't want to talk about yourself. But I had a job for a place in Long Island. This was brief. This is when we were really, like, borderline broke. And I just wanted to get something to feel like I was contributing. And got this fairly low-paying hourly gig for a place that was making dietary supplements and, like, colon cleansers for old people and people in institutions and nursing homes. And it was okay. I mean, the idea of trying to help old people get stuff to come out of their ass, that made me happy. But every other aspect of the job I despise, including the people. The people I were working with, some of the worst, nastiest folks I ever had the displeasure to deal with. And yeah, okay, so I was working this part-time job, and they would pay me, you know, more than minimum wage. I mean, for an hourly thing, it wasn't terrible. But after about 3 weeks, I just said, you know what? I'm gone. I'm out of here. I finished the day, and I didn't come back, and I didn't look back. You got to do it. You got to.
Yeah, the way I look at it, and I like using the comparison to two different characters from The Office, for a long time, I was Michael Scott. And now I've become Jim. I'm indifferent. I really don't care about my job, but I have a talent for it.
But
the difference is I don't have Pam to distract me.
You don't have what to distract you? Oh, Pam. Well,
I don't have Pam. I don't have a cute receptionist to look at.
Well, maybe that'll make it better. Like if you get a cute receptionist, if you work your way up in the company, it'll be worth sticking around, and then you can open your own insurance company. I don't know. How do you move up in insurance circles? I mean, what do you just become? Is there movement up the corporate ladder?
Damned if I know. But I know if I go any further, I will have a career, and I don't want a career in this business.
Okay, so let me ask you the question that my dad would ask me if I were in that situation. I'm going to ask you my dad question. What are you doing other than what you're doing to get out of it? What irons do you have in the fire?
Well, it's funny you mention that. I discovered recently a website devoted entirely to radio jobs. So I created a profile and uploaded an air check, which, boys and girls, is just a recording of something you've done before. In this case, it was a newscast I did in 2006. I received a telephone call the other morning from a guy who owns a series of stations in Indiana and Ohio.
Woo-hoo.
Who is interested in bringing me on to actually build a news department, which I've never done before.
And is there more to the story? Are you going? When? What? Tell me.
It would begin on the 1st of January. So I haven't made up my mind yet.
I assume
it's a lot of things can happen between now and then. I do have some things on my side. I don't have children. I'm not married, so I can pick up and leave, and it would be like I was never here. Much as my friends would hate to see me go, I think they understand that I'm unhappy where I am right now.
Oh, I know your friends. They'd be happy to lose you. Forget that. They're sick of you.
So I'm leaning toward an answer, but there's a few more things I have to weigh before I really make a decision.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I do make a decision, I will return to this show, and I will make that announcement.
Hell with that. You'll bring me on in the news department, man. You guys need entertainment news. I'm there for you. You need to know what's happening in Broadway in the middle of Indiana. You know that.
Yes, we can revive your Broadview segment from all of the years ago.
There you go. Exactly. I'm still doing Inside Broadway. I just did it like a half hour ago. Do you have a lady friend that you would be leaving behind? Are you dating? What's your situation there?
I'm single.
Okay.
In the last year and a half, I have been on 2 dates. Not for lack of trying, I just don't have a tremendous amount of interest in dating anyone right now.
Why? Let me tell you, and I'm not making a joke, I'm not anything. Joe was a bit of a stud back in his Long Island days. He's young, he's cute, he's preppy and well-groomed and sort of. I would have dated him. If I had a vagina, I would have been on him, like flies on poop. But I don't have a vagina anymore. So, I was always envious because Joe was bringing these cute girls and he was dating one after another. It's like this serial dating thing. And he was getting some every week. And I was like, yeah, Joe, go. And now what happened?
What happened? I'm not 19 anymore.
No. So what? You're 24?
27.
Are you really 27?
I'm 20 now. Yeah, I'll be 28 next April.
So even so, you're not getting that settling down feeling of like wanting to meet the right girl or what?
You know how some people strive to find that special person and settle down and get married and raise a family? I'm the guy that if I never get married, I don't think it's really going to bother me.
Huh.
I think I'd be happy just to have someone I'm with for years and years. I don't have a pressing need to get married. And I certainly have no interest in having kids.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because, yeah, you would be a terrible father. I see that now.
I absolutely would. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I might have a coffee mug in front of me, but it's full completely of whiskey. And that's how I was raised. So, I would not be a good father at all. I don't know how to handle, process certain emotions that you need if you are a father.
Yeah, in other words, just to suppress rage. That's the only thing you really need to do as a father. When the kid spills the grape juice on the white carpet, that's when the father has to be like, suppress the desire to kill. If you master that, I think you can probably be a dad. But I'm Jewish. I can't master it, That kid would be flying out the window.
And I was born on Hitler's birthday. So
I'm sorry,
that kind of spells doom for me.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know that?
I know. Joe Salzone was born on Hitler's birthday, April 20th. So I remember. That's how I remember your birthday, because I don't remember any friends or anything. I can barely remember my family birthdays. But Joe, I know. Oh, Joe Salzone, Adolf Hitler, same day.
Yeah, we're separated by 104 years, but that's actually how I remember my birthday as well.
Wow. I think I'm wondering if maybe your situation and then the fact that you don't want to deal with people and date and you sound a little whatever is mainly because you're just dealing with all these strangers all the time now and having to pitch them something you don't like selling. I think if you were in a different situation, maybe you would be more inclined to be out there meeting girls, being more of a family person. Am I overreaching with that?
I think there's some truth to that. Even in the days I was doing radio and I was happening all of that, I didn't have that burning desire to have a family. Mainly because there's a cream for that kind of burning sensation now that I put on every night. I do realize that the happiest I have ever been professionally was in radio. And I don't think you can really achieve a personal happiness without first achieving professional happiness, because they do go hand in hand.
I put the wrong one first. I always look for happiness professionally, and then I hope it'll bleed into my own psyche and my personal life when I'm not on the air or trying to act in something.
Just think about how much time you spend at work or working or doing things associated with work. It's not a 40-hour work week. That's the minimum requirement in this society.
Oh.
I work 60 to 70 hours a week, but I also work a job that I don't like.
Oh, so if you love the job.
And yeah. 60 to 70 hours of pure misery.
No, if you love the job, it would be like, 70 hours would be like, oh, I have to go home. Oh, I have to stop working now and go to sleep. Yeah. I've been in both sides of it. I'm telling you, man. Can I ask you a question? And feel free to answer as generically or as specifically as you please. But how are you health-wise?
It's funny you ask, because someone asked me this just last night. Physically, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally, I'm strong. Emotionally, I'm crippled. I don't know how else really to answer that. my own physical health is not something I really discuss with anyone, ever. I can tell you that I feel fine.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to get into the specific issues, and, if you don't want to go into it, I'm not going to go into it. I just wanted to know, how you're feeling, et cetera, and
yeah, it's just
so
not,
forth.
There are certain things about my personality that have changed over the years, but I remain an immensely private person, and I don't disclose many things to many people. Like, for example, if I were to contract an STD, I probably wouldn't tell anyone, including the people I'm sleeping with.
Yeah.
Does that make me a bad person?
Wait, I'm sorry. Yes, it does make you a bad person.
Because you didn't mind a few years ago.
No, I certainly did not, but now I have to use the ointment, and that's been hurting me, so... it is catching. So tell us, we need to kind of leave this on an up note, a happier note. Tell me something good that's happened to you. That radio job sounds amazing, but something else that you really did that was fun. Did you travel? Something really cool that our guest Joe Salzone has done in the past 12 months.
I've actually gotten quite a few gray hairs, which, for whatever reason, actually makes me pretty happy.
Okay.
It's a sign that I am almost at the end of this wild excursion known as the 20s.
Huh. You'll miss them, dude.
There's not a single thing I can think of, which is, I guess, kind of sad, that I've done the last 12 months that made me especially happy. I have gone home over quite a few weekends, make that 4.5 or 5 hour drive, to spend time with my family, who I realize I like a lot better when I'm not with them. Or when I'm not living there.
I know, yeah. No, I'm sure many, many, many people listening, well, of all the three people who are listening, totally understand that. They understand it very, very well.
I love my family, and I would do anything for them.
Of course, of course.
But it's easier to love them from a distance.
Right. And, who knows?
They're great, and they would do anything for me. Although I do have a bit of news for you about one of my parents' dogs.
Oh, no. Is it good news?
Well,
oh.
No. Do you remember Nathan?
Yeah, of course, the dachshund, the winger dog.
Yeah. Well, he has encountered some spinal troubles in the last few years.
Uh-huh.
And as a matter of fact, no longer has any control over his, let's say, movements.
All right. Oh, at least finally. This was so damn depressing. Now at least I get something to laugh about. Okay. Is he wearing a diaper?
Yes, he wears a diaper. he's not in any physical pain.
Thank God.
But I noticed when I was there, it was over Memorial Day weekend was the last time I was there. My mom was eating a slice of pizza on the couch, and in the old days, Nathan would be right there hoping for the smallest crumb to tumble onto the floor. And now, he finally is aware of his limitations.
Hmm.
And he was lying there on his little bed, and he looked up, he cocked his head in her direction, saw the pizza. I could see a glimmer of excitement in his eye, and then he just put his head down. And that was actually kind of sad. On one hand, it's nice that he recognizes that he has certain mobility limitations.
Right, yeah.
On the other hand, it was sad to see how far he's come in the last several years.
Oh, I mean, I don't want to get into it on the air, but thank God our two dogs are still with us and in many ways just as wonderful as they have been when they were puppies and young dogs. But at the same time, there are times and things that they can't do, or, you know, scary things that happen when you realize, oh, my God, our dogs are 10 and 11 years old, you know. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I've met your dogs once before.
You must have. You must have seen our dogs. Never?
Oh, yeah, because I recall being at your house once when we were filming
the Rabbi's
television show.
Yeah, I'll bet. Actually,
I was watching a few episodes the other day on YouTube. Very funny stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I thank you and the rabbi thanks you. But I do think you saw the dogs because I sicked them on you when you were in the house because I didn't want you there. And I said kill, but they were just too small to get at your throat. No, I think
it was my fault for keeping kielbasa in my pocket. You know, that was a pretty poor decision on my part that I would come to regret.
Yeah, well, I've seen it, Joe, and it ain't no kielbasa, let me tell you. But you know, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking. You know, I've had a person who was physically injured during 9/11 on this program. I've had people who were widowed or widowered, and yet this has to be the most depressing conversation I've ever had.
You're welcome.
But at the same time, I am hoping that sometime in late December or January, you're going to call into this program and say, Dave, I'm in Indiana. I'm building a news department, or I'm getting on the air. Or if not that, then something else, something that's going to pick your life up and make you real, real happy.
I would love to talk to the good rabbi again. It's been a long time. He doesn't return my emails. He does send me really obscene texts once in a while, which I don't always appreciate because I get them in church. Sometimes I stand outside of church and I collect coins for my own personal use.
Wow.
Which I guess, again, makes me a bad person.
No, not to the rabbi. If you toss a coin today, in fact, if you will toss the rabbi a coin right now, he can get on for like a minute or two and say hello. Because he did his rabbinical reflection earlier. He interviewed Aaron Berg. He's still in the building. I can get him to come and just say a very quick shalom to you.
I would absolutely appreciate that.
All right, take out some money.
Yeah. All right, hang on. Let me. I have a dime here. It's a 2005 dime.
Oh, a dime. Can you spare it? Oh, my God, you cheap son of a bitch. What, you can't spare a dollar? You're not even giving it to me. You're all the way in the middle of somewhere in upstate nowhere, New York, and you can't take out a dollar to put back in your own pocket for me. You.
No, I can't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Rabbi.
Well, it's good to hear your voice, Joe Salzone. You were a wonderful help to me on my television show, Shalom, Damn It. You might want to know I'm working on a one-man play that's going to be happening in a couple of months, or weeks even.
I've heard.
Yes, you should come out to Colorado and see it.
Well, I'm not going to do that, but I would absolutely love to see either a video of the performance or the script.
Well, I'll get you an 8-track tape of it. I think that's really the best format to behold the wonders of it, if you know what I'm
an
saying.
An antiquated character and antiquated technology.
Exactly. And it's a pleasure to talk to you, even though you are Italian. You're not of the faith.
Yeah. Thank you.
But your sadness and your gloom and your depression, I relate to. So it is wonderful to hear. So I'm going to give you a blessing. Joe Salzone, baruch to you. Blessings, good things, happiness, dogs that can still jump on tables, women that can jump into your bed. Good things for you, Joe Salzone. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Rabbi. Yeah. See, that's his good deed for the day. It's Saturday. He wants to do nice things for people. So, Joe, it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon here at the University of Northern Colorado. 3 o'clock Eastern time. That means, unfortunately, that we kind of have to leave the Daverhood. But Boy, oh boy, I'm so glad to catch up with you. Hopefully we can also catch up a bit off the air in the weeks ahead. And for faux shizzle, dude, I'm hoping to hear good news from you in a couple of months about specifically about radio or whatever else. But if that works out, that'd be great. So keep me posted, okay?
I will make that announcement on this very radio program in the great state of Colorado.
Thank you, Joe Salzone. Great to talk to you. Best to your family. Best to your dogs, of course. And have a great, great autumn. Okay, man?
You too, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Well, Joe Salzone, the one and only, a good friend to the station, a friend to me from years back when we were first doing this radio show, Dave's Gone By, all the way back in 2002 in New York. Well, we're still at it. And hell's bells, I may not be making a living at it, but I am not depressed and soul-sucked when I'm here behind this microphone doing this show. It revives me, makes me happy. Hopefully it does a little of that for you, too. When I'm playing the music, or we're interviewing guests, or we're having a little fun with Rabbi Saul, it's what it's all about.